One of the interesting ways that some have looked at the book of Revelation is around what we might call the cyclical approach. Some take a linear approach to Revelation. But what is the cyclical approach? The cyclical approach believes that there are seven cycles, each of which is concluded by the second coming of Jesus Christ. To illustrate and to expound on this a bit, in the first three chapters of Revelation, we have the appearance and return of Jesus Christ, followed by the letters to the seven churches of Asia Minor. At the end of chapter 3, after the letters to the seven churches, we have then the words, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone will hear my voice and open the door, I will come to him, and I will have supper with him, and he with me. The one who conquers, I will give to him to sit with me in my throne, even as I have conquered, and I have sat with my Father in his throne." Some believe that this has reference to the second coming of Jesus Christ. After the letters to the seven churches, he speaks of the door being open and coming and inviting those that are ready for supper, a familiar imagery in the Gospels of the kingdom that is to come. And with that, a promise of sitting with him on his throne and being a victor with him, just as he now is sitting with the Father on his throne. This is then followed by the picture of heavenly worship in chapters 4 and 5 of the Father and of the Lamb, followed in chapter 6 by the seven seals. At the end of the seventh of the sixth seal in chapter 6, verse 12 and following, it reads, "And I saw that he opened the seventh seal, and there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood, and the stars of the heaven fell upon the earth, as a fig tree casts her figs, as she is being blown by a great wind. And the heaven was split as a book rolled up, and every mountain and island was moved out of their places. And the kings of the earth, and the magistrates, and the kiliarchs, and the wealthy, and the strong, and every slave and free, hid themselves in the caves and in the rocks of the caves. And they say to the rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of the one who sits upon the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb, because the great day of their wrath has come, and who is able to stand?" Some would see this as the second cycle concluded by the return of the judgment, the return of Christ accompanied with the judgment, as he's coming back as the final judge, the Lamb now, who is going to judge the world after the sixth seal. This is followed then by the third cycle, it is believed by some. In chapter 7, we have the sealing of the 144,000. And a great multitude coming out of tribulation, and the anticipation that God is going to wipe away all tears from their eyes. This is then followed by the seventh trumpet, or the seven trumpets, and the trumpets in chapters 8 and 9 parallel rather closely the plagues of Egypt. In chapter 10, after the angel commands John to prophesy again, in chapter 11 then, we have the seventh trumpet. And again, some believe we are clearly looking at the second advent of Christ. It says in verse 15, "And the kingdom of the world has become the kingdom of his Christ, and he will reign forever and forever." We're at the eschaton. We're at the end again, many feel. And the 24 elders, which are before God, sitting upon their thrones, fell upon their faces, and they worshiped God, saying, "We give thanks to you, O Lord God Almighty, the one who is and the one who was, because you have taken your great power and you have begun to reign." And not only have you begun to reign, but the Gentiles were angry and your wrath has come. And the time for the dead to be judged and to give reward to your servants, the prophets, to the saints and to those that fear your name, the small and the great, and to destroy those who are destroying the earth. Again, some would see the final judgment connected with the return of Christ, where the kingdom of this world has become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ. Then we move to the next cycle, beginning in verse 12, or chapter 12, where we have the depiction of the woman and the dragon, Satan pursuing and persecuting the people of God, since he cannot attack Christ who has ascended into heaven. And then the two beasts of Revelation chapter 13, followed by the song of the 144,000 and their deliverance. Coming to the end of that cycle, some would see the final judgment again in verses 14 and 15. "And I saw, and behold, a great white throne, or a great white cloud, and upon the cloud one sitting like to the Son of Man, having his head upon his head a crown of gold, and in his hand a sharp sickle. And another angel came out of the temple, crying with a great voice to the one who sits upon the cloud, 'Send forth your sickle and reap, because the hour has come, because the harvest of the earth is prepared.' And the one who is sitting upon the cloud cast his sickle upon the earth, and it was harvested." We have the same conclusion then in the scene, not only of a wheat harvest, but of the harvest of grapes in verses 17 and following. "And another angel came out of the temple and in heaven, having also a sharp sickle. And another angel came out of the altar, the one having authority over the fire, and he cried with a great voice to the one who was having the sharp sickle, saying, 'Send your sickle, your sharp sickle, and reap the grapes of the vineyard of the earth, because her grapes are ripe.' And so the angel cast his sickle into the earth and reaped the vineyard of the earth and cast into the winepress of the wrath, cast into the winepress of the great God of the wrath, into the winepress of the wrath of the great God. And the wine press was trodden outside the city, and the blood came out of the wine press. And it talks about the immense judgment that followed. So again, the two harvest scenes, that of a wheat harvest and that of a harvest of grapes, depicting, some would feel, this next cycle concluded in the final judgment. Jesus, for example, in Matthew 13, spoke of the harvest scene, the wheat harvest, as final judgment. When the angels would separate the wheat from the tares, for example. Then, in chapter 15 through chapter 16, we move into the judgment of the bulls, of God's wrath. And those who take this position see these different judgments as repetition of much of the same, except with intensification growing. And again, the final judgment being that of a great earthquake, depicting the return of Christ and the final judgment. It reads in verse 19 of chapter 16, "And the great city fell into three parts, and the cities of the Gentiles fell, and Babylon the Great was remembered before God to give to her the cup of the wine of the wrath of the anger of his anger. And every island fled away, and the mountains were not seen." Goes on to describe the great hail that came down and how men blasphemed God and the judgment that came with this final great worldwide earthquake. Again, many would see this as the final judgment as well. Then we have the next cycle in the great harlot and the beast. This is then followed by the fall of Babylon. And then in chapter 19, the return of Christ on the white horse. After the announcement of the arrival of the marriage of the Lamb, anticipating the kingdom, as some would feel, we then see the rider on the white horse coming back, a sword coming out of his mouth, that with it he would smite the nations, and he would shepherd them with an iron scepter, and he would tread the winepress of the wrath of the Almighty God. So as we see his return, we see the beast and the kings of the earth, and they're gathered together against the Lord, and the sharp two-edged sword, speaking of Christ's word, judges the world as he returns as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. The final cycle that some would see is in chapter 20. The 1,000 years being, as some, such as Augustine, understand it, the reign of Christ and the martyrs with Christ from the resurrection to the second coming. Satan being bound in that he's not able to thwart the preaching of the gospel that would go to all nations. He cannot stop process. But this is then followed by the great white throne judgment, Gog and Magog, and then the great white throne judgment. Again, many see this as a depiction of the final judgment, followed then by the great white throne judgment, where people stand before the Lord, books are open, and the dead are brought before the Lord, and everybody is judged according to what is written in the books. And if their name is not written in the book of life, they are cast into the lake of fire. This is then followed by a new heaven and new earth in the conclusion, in which every tear is wiped away, and there is no more death or pain or crying or sorrow. And in that new Jerusalem, there is the Lamb and the Father, in which God's people will live with them forever and forever. So the cyclical approach sees the book of Revelation in these cycles, the epilogue in one, followed by these seven cycles, each one culminating in the return of Christ and the final judgment, and then the final new heaven and new earth in which Christ and the Father will dwell forever. And John says, "Even so, come, Lord Jesus." We as believers need to look forward to the return of Jesus Christ with whatever position we take on the book of Revelation, whether we see it as linear or whether we see it as cyclical. The important thing is that Christ is coming back.